There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Yeah, you love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. This is my thing, man.
Yeah, what's your thing?
You leave your windows open. You're asking me to look in your windows of your home.
What the hell how would that even matter, Henry?
If you leave
it's
the windows open.
It's a glass window.
I'm just saying, I'm not sticking my head in like I'm trying to get a pot pie out of the kitchen. Like
you're
I'm
not little boy
to,
blue. What I'm saying is, how would it being open or closed have anything to do with you being able to look into it? They're glass windows. There's a whole sentence. Those in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks.
But that's about sinning.
You want to breathe in their home is what
you
want to do.
I want to be able to look and see how do you decorate your house? How do normal people do that? Like, what do you do? Where do you put furniture? What do you do? How many members is your family? How many girls? How many boys? How many men? How many women in there? How many dogs you got in there? You got any guns in there? Hey, what's the perimeter over here? You're in my neighborhood.
Wow. Well, that escalated very quickly, all within your own mind. You're like an HGTV. Peeping Tom. You just want to see how they decorate, and then you're going to take their ideas, but when they walk into your home and they realize that your house is decorated the exact same as their house.
Pictures of their family up and stuff.
Something very comforting, but also extremely unnerving about our neighbor's home. Rest Did you notice?
I'm you now. I have like a silicone mask of the father. I've been like, it's me. I'm the father. It's Father's Day. Oh. 6 months ago. Where's my tie? Where's my fun mug?
Well, that launches the new horror series, Father's Day, coming out on Mother's Day. All right, everyone. Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. What a wacky week we have.
It is just, wow, is it fucking wacky.
It really is. We have an update. Oh my God. When you thought it wasn't safe to walk down the streets of Chicago.
It's not completely.
The Chicago police have said it's at least safe for those who don't want to get beamed with eggs as the egg deliverer person has been discovered.
The Eggman, the Chicago Scrambler, has been caught, but we also, to be honest, Kissel, this has nothing to do with the Chicago Police Department. They
what do
did
you mean?
Nothing to stop this person, and he's not yet arrested. We don't know the person's name because he's not been charged with the crime, so that it has not been broadcast yet, right?
Okay.
So he was a driver for a Value Furniture company, so we did
so
say
is that
correctly,
the truck
we did say that, yes. Yes.
But that was the so he was using his company truck.
He was.
That's not appropriate.
He was a delivery man who might have been a bit disgruntled, right? Because also, my question is, I want to meet a delivery person that starts off gruntled.
Right.
Which I guess is happy.
We've actually had this conversation. Gruntled, I don't think exists as a word. We literally had this conversation when we were driving. I believe gruntled's not a word.
I think
disgruntled is a word.
Gruntled sounds like, you know when you're only half hard, you're trying to get it inside?
You're gruntled.
You're gruntled.
And then to get fully hard, you have to get disgruntled.
Disgruntled.
Okay,
so
never mind. Gruntled is a word. It means pleased, satisfied, and contented. So there we go.
Well, I'm fucking gruntled about it.
Yes,
but
indeed. You're
guy,
very happy.
He was a driver for Value Furniture. The only thing we know is that this person was fired from their job. The company wants to say, first of all, the company was unaware that this driver was engaged in this unauthorized conduct. The driver was promptly terminated upon his wrongful actions being brought to the attention of the company.
Wow, thou protest too much, company. Mm. Perhaps you provided the eggs. Maybe you noticed some eggs were leaving or missing from the refrigerator. And did you say anything, sir?
But this is one time that we must give a tip of the cap to the web sleuths that did put this whole story together.
Don't fuck with cats. Fantastic documentary.
They were completely incorrect.
Completely
in that film.
Incorrect and led to somebody's suicide. This is the crime for internet detectives.
This is what you're
this
supposed to
do. This is it. This is it. Gets no bigger and dare I say no better in many ways because who doesn't want to catch the egg bandit of Chicago? But know this: if you are dabbling in anything more than a misdemeanor and you're a Facebook detective, this is too big for you.
It's too
and
big.
You ain't gonna solve it. You're gonna lead to somebody's innocent suicide.
Yes.
Not that that person was a good person per se. They posted a bad video in that documentary, but be careful who you accuse of murder.
But this is important. It did help do with the show. You know what this shows? Data. solves crimes.
It does.
Which is something that the FBI, they use a lot of time in their tactics, right? The idea of canvassing and doing all edges, covering all edges, covering all angles, just a constant, a glut of information. And that is what finally stopped the scrambler. Now, my question is, if the scrambler is still out there, we still want to speak to you. We want to know your motives. We want to know.
This is the Chicago scrambler.
Oh my God, it's we do have him on the line. Okay. All right, scrambler. Can't understand you.
All right. Well, I guess he hung up.
Oh my God, it's Ben Kissel.
Wow.
It's always been.
AMA, ask me anything.
But yes, if you're the Chicago Scrambler, even a very good impersonator, we want to meet you. And we want to speak with you. We want to know what's going on. We want to know.
Technically, your... you could just do it.
Yes, sure. I don't want to. I'm outsourcing this.
Okay, fantastic. Moshe Tamsit, that is the individual who runs True Chicago. Speaking of... this is a once in a lifetime, so don't get this stuck in your noodle. Facebook hero.
Yes. Very few. There are very few of those.
It is a neighborhood Facebook page. They ain't in it for the press. It's just very local, which is where Facebook might actually somewhat be beneficial, I suppose. He turned the post of egg attacks into a single page. He mapped all 86 attacks, and he had to say, I just set up the Chicago Egg Hunters as a repository for everyone's information. And dare I say, they filled it up with 600 group members. They got to work, and they solved the crime. Unfortunately, the cops don't seem to give a shit.
Well, because they don't know
what
to charge.
There are real crimes as well.
There are real crimes happening at the same time that they are very busy with. But I will say that they don't know what crime to charge him with. It's going to take someone to... charge this person with a crime. They are going to have to come forward and say, like, this is assault.
Abuse of poultry.
I mean, abuse of poultry, when it comes down to it, if you go into any one of those shops down in Brooklyn where you can just buy a live chicken just to kill it for fun.
Well, for food.
Yes, but some people kill them for fun.
You could do that as well. But then again, don't we have to get away from the factory farm, and shouldn't we have to see our food eye to eye?
I agree, which is why I'm going to have a whole bunch of hogs in front of my house that I slaughter for my bacon.
Yeah, it is going to be weird as you put the numbers on their forehead as if it's the movie. oh my God, Jake Busey, totally derailed. Jake Busey, the guy, Michael J. Fox. It's a fantastic...
What movie?
Oh my God, they put the numbers...
Teen Wolf?
No, they put the numbers on the forehead. And that's when you're next.
What?
Jake Busey. Michael J. Fox.
Numbers on the forehead. Michael J. Fox.
The demons come in, the ghosts. It's very funny.
The Frighteners.
Thank you. We got there. Okay. Just lastly, Tamsin, again, the man who set up the Facebook page, he says, to basically get the message back to the egg truck folks that you've had a good run. It was kind of funny, he says. You haven't caused serious injury yet.
Yet.
But it's very possible death by egg.
Please. And this is a message to the scrambler. Honestly, if you got to move on to throwing waffles at people, I'm totally cool with that. Or pancakes.
A full breakfast.
Totally fine.
Make it a brunch bus.
Please do. But, don't start shooting people.
No.
You know what actually really would help if the Chicago Scrambler could really go down and help us scramble some eggs? It's down in Texas.
Yes,
because
indeed.
Because those eggs are going to need to get scrambled from somebody else. And that's how it's going to have to come down to it, man. Right. Send them down there. Chicago Scrambler, they need you in Texas.
Yes, they do.
And also, in our Texas dates, we are traveling with an abortion van, which I'm really excited for. Thanks, Spotify.
Yes, thank you so much, the Swedes. Coming through when we need them the most. We talked about what's going on in Texas on Top Hat last week. So give that episode a listen. It's what one would call devastating. Okay. So speaking of devastating, last week, we kind of have a double update this week, don't we?
We do. We do.
Last week, we talked about a dude who was running away from the cops, and then
corpses kept falling out of the back of it.
Corpses kept on falling out.
And I believe someone also brought up the film Bad Boys 2.
Oh, did that happen in Bad Boys 2?
I believe.
Yes, indeed. Of course. So this time, as the cops are doing another police chase. And here, you know what? Again, frame it. Thank you, police officers, because sometimes your job is very difficult.
Sometimes it is. I mean, I will say it is always difficult to be a police officer, but sometimes it doesn't get your uniform all dirty.
Sometimes it does not. So whether it be corpses flying out of the back of a goddamn corpse bus, or in this case, a man who was being chased by the cops tossed his penis out his car window.
Amen.
You can imagine what a rough day it is to be the to be the car windshield of that police car.
God damn it, the balls are still there. Can't get the balls off the rim.
They said these were the best windshield wipers around. Apparently they did not think about having human cocks flung out of windows. A Tennessee man allegedly flung his own severed penis out of his car window during a police chase. His name is Tyson Gilbert. He's 39. He said that he had heard some voices on the radio that told him to cut off his penis.
Cut off your penis.
No, don't do that.
Cut off your penis.
Keep your penis on.
Cut off your penis.
Keep your penis on. So I'm not sure if he was listening to Rush Limbaugh recording live from hell, but either way, some horrible radio DJ who I do believe may have done Cut Off Your Dick Thursdays.
I mean, Cut Off Your Dick Thursdays has been really helping a lot of traffic because people just stop going to work once you lose the dick.
Yeah, so he's on this highway. He's on this high-speed pursuit with the cops.
He was partially blocking the highway. I actually don't know why they were originally chasing him.
Well, either way, at some point during the chase, again, he ditched his dick out of his, it's a Honda Accord, which you can imagine, that is the exact car that you would want to fling a cock out of, according to a Tennessee Highway Patrol preliminary report.
Yeah, I would
report,
say the Honda Accord has the most severed dicks inside of it versus any other make and model of car.
I mean, it's just not a Tesla move.
Yeah,
they're keeping
not,
their little no, dicks.
Oh, yeah,
they're
it's, keeping for, them. It's for lauding your tiny, tiny penis.
Exactly. So this is according to the Tennessee Highway Patrol. They say Gilbert opened the door to his vehicle where the trooper observed Gilbert was bleeding from an alleged self-inflicted wound. Gilbert shut the vehicle's door and sped away. So it looks like he had cut off his Johnson.
He cut off his
before the highway pursuit
even began.
It's just a lot for this poor guy. This is a rough day for this dude.
This was just a regular traffic stop, apparently. I pulled up behind him. I turned my lights on. He took off and refused to stop. He was all over the road the whole time. Yeah, because his fucking dick has been cut off. He turned off. He turned off on Old Liberty Road and came to a stop. He opened his door. He was naked and covered in blood. He then shut his door and he kept driving. And then they found the little pecker on the side of the street.
Oh, man. The entire chase was 30 miles. So I got to give this guy some credit for being able to drive 30 miles hemorrhaging blood from his cock as he's staring at his little winky. Maybe he named it. Maybe they had a conversation like an episode of South Park.
They might have.
Or maybe he just
Why
looked
you
at
it. Why you gotta break up this relationship?
It's a hard relationship to end.
I made you do everything you ever needed to do in your life. I'm the driving force.
So anyway, they haven't confirmed the man's name, but they couldn't confirm the state. But they also don't know the state of the man's penis. Apparently, people have been asking the hospital, but I guess there's HIPAA privacy laws where you can't be like, his cock is doing fine. It's
sign the fucking document.
Well, not on its own. That's a good point, Henry. That's a good point. See? A cock can't sign any document unless you slam it down with your own hand.
So, yeah, you know, body parts are flying everywhere. We got reports of a bunch of fetuses lying around of a funeral home. But when it comes down to what we were saying right before the show, that would be a big deal if there were a bunch of fetuses lying around. An IHOP.
Exactly.
That would be a big deal.
That was a story we're not even going to cover. They found a bunch of bodies and fetuses in this morgue.
It's in a morgue.
And so just, I guess, you have a run a clean morgue. Could you run a clean morgue,
yes,
please?
Yes, this is a sanitary issue. Not this is actually an inventory issue.
It honestly is. And we saw that during COVID in 2020 as all those bodies rotted.
Yep. And also Pornhub just released its first transparency record, which I think is really interesting because what's nice about the transparency report is that you can lay underneath it and someone just can shit on it from the top.
Wait, hold on. They have a transparency record?
Yeah, they're trying to show their bookkeeping and kind of like who's using the site and all that kind of shit. And I just think that it's really nice that you can use the report to lie under while someone shits on top of it. What I'm saying?
I got what you were saying, kind of the pigeon effect there.
I was having fun.
No, you were having fun, and I just reminded myself that I watched a little bit of pornography yesterday, which I'm actually in my old age. I think my penis has stopped working, but
that's fine.
You know what I like to watch?
What?
People watching their porn.
You were talking about this. You really like the reactions.
The reaction.
To it.
It's very interesting because they're like, oh yeah, that's a good one. And then it's funny because then they masturbate.
It's better than
it's like Inception.
To be honest, I think that's more refreshing than the camera guy. You know what I mean? If it was just like you got hardcore porn in there and then just me going like, yeah, we always try to make sure we get from behind the balls one time just to stop you from jerking off. The whole point is to extenuate your circumstances.
This has been a conversation since porno has existed. Bill Hicks did a bit about it literally 35 years ago.
Nobody likes the shot from behind the balls.
Somebody must.
They must.
Like,
I guess they must.
They must
You're
like
right.
the male bunt with the balls. They must like it. Maybe it's a Mormon who still thinks he's looking at straight porn. He's like, no, I don't. I just like that
view.
True. Maybe that's the case.
I just feel like to see a man's behind the balls, that's a spouse's view.
That's a
thing that you have to see. You have to see.
It would be like them.
Person.
It would be like them showing us their tax returns, and I say that's personal. That is personal. But nonetheless, what do I know?
Fly from your grave.
All right. Well, this story Henry brought to my attention yesterday, and holy shit, this is going to be,
wow.
We're going to dip our toe into this because this is without a doubt the biggest story of the week. And by biggest, it is biggest in both death count, shenanigans, chicanery, and just overall, what the hell is going on in South Carolina?
So first of all, we're going to take y'all trip down to old South Carolina. It's rural. It's a rural part of the world.
That's what they
keep saying. They say rural.
Rural.
This takes place down in the swampy south. And it's the tale of the Murdoch family.
Murdoch.
It's Murdoch.
Is it Murdoch?
It's Murdoch.
Okay, it's a hard GH.
Yes,
okay.
The Murdoch family and the murders that haunt this ginger, very rich, and possibly inbred family that is gotten there very, very powerful in South Carolina. And apparently, Kissel, we better be careful because we're even just talking about the Murdoch family. And this is true. We could put us in the scopes of whoever it is that's picking off these family members one by one, because apparently down in South Carolina, you don't talk about the Murdoch family.
All right, we'll get into it. The Murdoch family looks like a kind of family whose mother sends every single dish that they get from Applebee's back to the kitchen because it isn't just right.
This is the type of people that salted butter is too spicy for.
Yes, the boys, unfortunately, they are redheads. I can't claim to know every redhead, so don't come at me by the redhead, please.
We don't know. We don't know these people.
We're a good people, but the boys do look like they have been both bullied violently, but then also trickled down that bullying to anyone else who is mildly smaller than them. And the father looks like he has eyes of a man who is constantly shitting but also unable to.
Yes, his name is Big Red. That's what they call him. Alec Murdoch, who I guess is currently or was currently a prosecutor for
a very
important law family in South Carolina. As a matter of fact, I believe his father and his grandfather and his great grandfather were all of the solicitors for South Carolina, which is their version of it's something like a DA.
This is what we call old money.
Old money. But in America, it's never that old, right? The most it could be is about 150 years old. But that's as far as they go back. And this is how long they've held positions of power within the government of South Carolina.
Without earning any of it. That's called nepotism.
Yes, it is. It's the way of the land. And so on June 7th of 2021, this story starts here.
So weird.
Alex Murdaugh, the patriarch of this family, he finds his son, Paul, and his wife, Maggie, in their very extensive 1,700-acre hunting lodge. It was out in the middle of fucking nowhere,
that's
right?
That's just their hunting lodge.
That's just their hunting
1,700,
lodge.
Like, that's where I go take a piss outside.
Yes.
1,700 acres.
They also have an apartment. They have several homes. They are both found dead of gunshot wounds. Paul was shot 2 times with a shotgun close range. His head was basically exploded.
Yeah.
And he got shot in the chest. But then his wife, Maggie, was also shot, but with a separate gun several different times. And that is very mysterious.
Weird.
Very mysterious. Alex Murdoch calls the police and has a very frantic 911 call, which is, it is very frantic and very hysterical, right?
But again, I listened to some of the call, and it is a man, not to reference Chrisley Knows Best all the time as the emasculated wannabe macho man.
Yes.
But again, as I say, thou protest too much, perhaps.
It
was very actory, I thought.
Who knows? Who knows? Because he accessed some emotions. Now, this is not the first time the Murdoch family has fallen afoul of the law recently.
No.
Because what we do know is that during this time period, an active investigation was centered on Paul Murdoch.
That's right.
That is the son that was murdered. He might have murdered a person by the name of Mallory Beach in a boating accident that happened
right.
in 2019.
It's
what they called, they're calling it South Carolina's Chappaquiddick.
Absolutely. This was a 19-year-old woman, super sad. So Paul was actually facing felony charges.
And it had just been opened back up because his very powerful legal family had somehow managed to shut down all of the really intense inquiry into the son's culpability. He was not given a DUI test the night of the bullshit. Like, nothing happened. And they purposely, because they had to call Big Red. You hear in the 911 call, they're like, we got to call Big Red.
Big Red
is going to fix it up. And that's Alec Murdoch. He's going to show up with Pappy, the old grandpa, who's going to show up at the police station, say, you're not talking to Paul anymore, and we're yanking him. And now they're trying to, this is whole quagmire of this wrongful death investigation.
We were talking about this a bit on Top Hat as well, about Ahmed Arbery, where the attorney general didn't press charges because you're like, no, I know the people who killed him. It's okay. Anyway, she's being charged now. And I think something very similar happened here, where when it comes to the 19-year-old, obviously, yes, the Paul was being charged. But you know this was going to be a slap on the wrist at best, because, again, the power that this family held.
Well, it had just moved. Because they were trying to make it a wrongful death scenario, and apparently the plea bargain had fallen apart and was just about to start going into actual court hearings, right? So that's one section.
That's one thing. So we got two people dead, Paul and the mom, plus a victim from Paul.
Paul was involved in a boat crash where he was probably driving this boat, and the wrongful death of Mallory Beach occurred.
Okay.
Correct. So that's now all happened.
That's
right?
A lot for one family.
That's a lot for one family. Cut to several days ago when Alex Murdoch is then shot in the head while he was apparently fixing a flat tire on his truck.
Okay. Now what happened here?
Okay. So apparently, according to Alec Murdoch, who lived, right?
We're going to get into our theories after this.
Yes, he's alive. Alec Murdoch called 911, said, I was out here fixing my car, and then a truck drove past me, and he turned back around, and he said to me, you got car trouble? And that's the last thing I remember, right? Because he got shot in the head. Now, you may ask yourself, if the man was shot in the head, how in the fuck did he make this phone call? It's because he was grazed.
Just grazed. Also, as all of this is going on, the backdrop of this as well is Big Red being fired from his law firm because of embezzling money, perhaps. But
we didn't know about that.
We did not know about that. So Big Red also took the initiative and said, you can't fire me, law firm. I quit.
Because he sent out this fucking, like, very woe is me, which I get. I understand why it's woe is me. Let's say he's completely innocent, it retracts.
Yeah,
right?
This is what he had to say. He says, I'm resigning from my law firm and entering rehab after a long battle that has been exasperated by these murders. I'm immensely sorry to everyone I've hurt, including my family, friends, and colleagues. I ask for prayers as I rehabilitate myself and my relationships, although many of them are now corpses. So I'm not sure if you can rehabilitate that, but I love
the immediate... Unless you get a shaman.
But that is the immediate thing where it's like when Kevin Spacey got busted for all the bullshit he was doing.
But I am gay.
I'm going to feel like, okay, great. Go to rehab. Like, I probably will go to rehab at some point, but hopefully there's not two corpses being my motivation. And like, I embezzled all this money from LPN. That's why you can see my new swag. You can see my new shoe. I got one nice new shoe from all the money I embezzled.
No, when we go to rehab, it's going to be like a vacation. I'm excited. but no, he knew full well that he was fired as of that Friday.
Yes.
Because they knew that he is embezzling one report says was millions of dollars from his own family's law firm.
That's why, you know what? A little bright side. Grass is always greener. That's what they say. You look at this family. You're in South Carolina. You're struggling to make ends meet. I wish I was part of the Murdoch family. They have it all so good. Meanwhile, just cut to him, just sweating profusely in the kitchen. Just be like,
fuck me. It's crumbling.
And also going in, before we get to our theories, the wife. Evidently, you were telling me this, Henry. Yes. Evidently, the wife was trying to sniff around the finances a little bit, was she not?
Yes, Maggie Murdoch apparently had hired what is called a forensic accountant to sort of look into all of the different finances.
Just when you thought an accountant couldn't get any more nerdy. It's a forensic accountant.
It gets there. I'm a cop accountant, which is very interesting. But Maggie seemed to be was feeling around, seeing how much money they exactly had, how much money that Alec had. Exactly, maybe what she might get out of a divorce.
Perhaps they were separated. Maybe they weren't in love anymore. Perhaps.
Apparently, they were separated. They were living separately. But again, there's also swirls of rumor here.
Yes.
So we're not quite certain. There's actually really interesting, like, several sources of information on this. If you're interested in the Murdoch murder mystery, I believe is one of the Reddit groups, and then there is another. There's several like little micro podcasts that cover it in all detail, which is honestly it really helps me kind of wrap my head around it. But it seems to be Maggie was angling to get a divorce as well.
Okay.
And so all of these things happened at once.
Okay. All right.
So now what happened? What are our theories?
So I'm going to start my theory at the end where he is changing his tire. Evidently a man in a pickup truck or a truck comes up and grazes him on the forehead. First of all, I believe he set that entire thing up. Why? Number one, Big Red don't change his own tire.
No,
Big Red has never changed his own tire. He has OnStar on demand. He has a militia of people to come and change his tire. People like that do not change their own tire. Number two, if you're sent to kill Murdoch and you go back and you're like, yeah, I think I got him. And then they find out you grazed him. No, now you're dead. So an assassin who shoots someone in the head, shoots them in the head, and then goes back and be like, oh, and one more time.
One more, make sure you're dead.
So I believe all of that was a setup by Murdoch, as we talked about, Henry, to try to outflank the police and try to outwit everyone and maybe try to gain some sympathy. But if you're the cops, you're like, well, that's another weird thing that happened to a person that we've never seen happen before.
It's very interesting because the fact that Maggie and Paul were murdered by two separate guns, that is not very
common.
But don't
you think that's him? Don't you think that's him be like, yes. I've Big Red has done it again.
I am the smartest of the Reds. But I think he might have done it on his own. He might have had goons kill the Maggie and Paul.
Like, maybe
he might
have had you goon guys he had fake killing him.
Maybe. But then I also, my mind, the first thing that I thought was that, okay, so he winged, so his head got winged by a bullet.
Big head.
I could see him doing it to himself as well. I could see him setting all this up and be like, all I got to do is graze it. That's all I got to do is just graze my head. That's it. Come on, Big Red. They don't call you Big Red for being act like a small red. Small reds can't shoot themselves in the head and live. I'm a Big Red. I can shoot myself in the forehead and I'll live the dance and dance again.
I love people who have been told yes their entire lives and people who just come again from generational wealth. I respect new wealthy and people who earned it through merit. But I can see this. This is where we really find out how stupid this family is.
Well, it comes down to it at some point. Because, you know, the one thing that they did come forward and say, like, because people were criticizing them because of how much power they hold and how much money they have, you know, and they did the very standard, like, Big Red came out and said, like, we're just people. We're just like you. But when it comes down to it, they don't have the...
No, they're not just like us.
They are not just like us. And when your entire family dies, because also there's an older son, Buster. We didn't know where Buster is. Buster's guilty of something.
You're telling me they named him Buster? Well, did they not see? Yeah. Did they not see freaking, what's the name of that show? The name of the episode? What's the name of that show?
Development.
Did they not see Arrested Development? They named him Buster? Are you kidding me?
Might just be possibly implicated to another murder that is surrounded. That it's the name keeps coming up, right? Because this is the problem, is that
apparently
the Murdoch story was that, like, the Paul Murdoch half of the story was one investigation that was currently going on. But apparently when they went and did the investigation at the hunting grounds where the murders happened, it opened up information to another murder. A young man by the name of Stephen Smith that was found. He was on an isolated road. He was found with what originally was called, they believe it was a hit and run. They said that his head was completely bashed open, but they didn't know exactly what happened to him.
That scene from Hereditary.
Yes, and they said apparently the prevailing theory was that he got hit by the rearview mirror of a truck and a bus opened his head, right?
Okay.
But there is rumors again flying around everywhere that the Murnoch boys had something to do with the murder of Stephen Smith, because Stephen Smith was the one of the local gays. Just maybe, somebody in the family was involved with him romantically, and they were trying to cover it up. Don't know. Again, this is total rumor, but the thing that is weird is that the Stephen Smith death, that case has been reopened up with information that they found at the horse ranch, at the whatever that fucking, the murder grounds.
Honestly, going back to the start of the show, those in glass houses, because you can imagine the politics of these people as they demonize others.
Just again, no, we will keep you updated on this case as it goes, as we get more information. If you've got information, especially people who've got boots on the ground, email us at sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. If you know the Murdoch family, I'd love some information, because maybe we're entirely wrong. Maybe they're the only generationally wealthy family that is decent in America. I don't know. Maybe they're the ones that everybody loves, and they've done nothing but good things, and certainly have never done whatever it takes to bend an entire state to the will of one family. So let us know if maybe we're incorrect.
Maybe
because
we
also
are.
When it comes down to it, they could all just be the victims of cruel circumstance.
It would be one hell of a circumstance. That's all I know. So if you are out there and you're killing the entire Murdaugh family, stop doing that too.
Don't do that.
Don't kill the Murdaugh
family. And if
you're
the same as the Chicago Scrambler, again, we'd love to talk to you. We'll have you on the show. We'll talk about it. Also, looking for the booking information for Sirhan Sirhan. So if anybody out there has a direct line to Sirhan Sirhan, now that he's going to be out in Gen Pop, I'm really excited to have him on the show. I want to ask him some questions. Again, how's the food in jail?
Yeah, I'm totally fascinated, actually. That would be a great interview. We don't really delve into the world of the criminal mind, per se, in person. But when it comes to Sirhan Sirhan, he's a historical figure, like, truly. So it would be a pretty amazing thing.
Do you
Although
not think
you do wonder,
his brains are probably fucking scrambled
just,
at this point.
Yeah, it would probably just be a bunch of nonsense. But perhaps, with the power of editing, we could get three solid sentences, which is all we really need to do. And I know the people who edit would just love to dig through the garble of a man who's been in solitary for 35, 40 years.
They'd love it, man. They'd love to kind of parcel together his hot takes.
Yeah. All right.
We'll also, a big shout out to the Satanic Temple doing a good job. They're trying to they're trying to sue the state of Texas on their new abortion ban. So that'll
absolutely
be really
interesting. The Satanic Church, when it comes to politics.
The Satanic Temple.
The Satanic Church,
Church of Satan, which I'm actually more of an adherent to. We're just mostly really excited about Halloween.
Right. Well, Halloween is right around the corner, so make sure you get your candy and all of those fun costumes for your kids. Okay. in Omaha, this is just a little story, but I just think it's kind of funny because I'm visualizing it. So there's this Omaha police officer. Apparently, he was like super hammered, and he was just driving around, and he hit like multiple cars as they were parked. Oh, God, and so prosecutors have charged.
It's hard to do. You can avoid them if they're parked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you can just see him just backing up.
Whip, whip.
Oh, man.
There's another car. No, these cars keep sneaking up on me.
This is crazy, man. Are they moving faster? Or am I going too slow?
These cars being little ninjas, huh?
So prosecutors have charged 31-year-old officer Humberto Herrera with providing false information, leaving the scene of a property damage crash.
No way.
Reckless driving and colliding with a fixed object in the June 12th crash.
Dad?
Colliding with a fixed object. That's just them making fun of him.
Yeah, yes,
that's
that
just
is.
Them make, because technically that shouldn't be a crime. That's you are already the victim of your own stupidity.
They're trying to figure out a way to charge you for being a fucking moron. Because that's what they have to do. They have to give you a very embarrassing ticket. I bet you it says like, so saw we, like on it.
Isn't that sad? So anyway, you got to be careful out there. Even when a police officer, alcohol is still a very powerful drug.
Live from your grave.
Oh, here we go. I want to tell you a story that's probably fake.
Okay, great.
See how this goes. Tell me if this is wrong or this is, but I'm certain that this is fake.
Great.
But I just like the breakdown of it. 30 years ago, a man named Vasile Gorgus, who was then 63 years old, went missing. Gorgus was a cattle man, and he traveled to so many fairs, various counties in Romania. He negotiated the sales of all of these cows and the chickens and the cattle. What wonder, as you say, from vampire? And his family said, oh, he made such many trips. He, Gorgus, always going on trip, right? He always returned to family on time.
Aww.
He never had problem on the road. But in 1991, Gorgos. Oh, fate came and took Gorgos.
No.
Because he took a train ticket. He bought a train ticket. He told his wife and his children he'd be back in a few days.
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean. He took his wife and his children and he'd be back in a few days.
Okay.
Yep. And they saw him then. Guess what?
What happened?
He did not come home.
He did not come home.
They reported his disappearance to the police, but to no avail. They actually held a memorial service for him. They said that he was dead. But then cut to August 2021. And I don't know how this happened.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet, the Sunday afternoon. This car suddenly stopped in front of the house of the Gorgos family. And from it, they pushed out an old man. And who was it? 93-year-old Vasily Gorgos.
Oh, my
God. And he was wearing the same clothes.
He didn't gain any weight, huh?
Lucky.
Lucky guy.
He had on 30 years ago. They can't believe it. They looked at him. They were in shock. And they asked him, where have you been these 30 years ago? And they said they look in his pocket and they found the train ticket. The very same train ticket. Well, he's kidding. They asked Gorgos, where have you been?
Seems like he was in prison and he just got his old clothes back.
He said he didn't barely recognize anyone. And at the same time, he looked very well groomed. He was clean, not emaciated. And they asked him, where were you this whole time?
Yeah.
And the old man, he turned to them and he simply said, I was at home. And that's it.
All right. So it seems like somebody that he moved in with said, we've had enough of you. And they sent him back to his old family 30 years later.
But a way to get out.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this next story here, before we get into Hero of the Week, you see this story from Las Vegas?
Oh, this is
This story is freaking disgusting. Brad,
I thought what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas.
Unless it's an absolute felonious murder.
But I feel like those are the things that should most stay in Vegas.
No, what stays in Vegas is all of your money. Because you don't seem to bring that home with you. Brad Men, Kevin Dent, and Heather Pate. They murdered and tortured this dude named Roy Jaggers. Now, Roy was dating Heather Pate. Apparently,
Roy Jaggers sounds like the fat cousin of Mick Jaggers.
Of course. No, Roy is not allowed anywhere. Of course, in this
I'm
case,
sorry,
he's the
I
victim.
I know he's dead. I'm sorry.
He is the victim here. He's a 27-year-old man. He was Jesus kidnapped Christ. By these three. And then it was just brutal. So it ends with him being forced to strip naked and walk off a cliff. And then at that point, they also shot him, which, dare I say, is the definition of overkill. But before all of that...
Well, this is some kind of sexual trip.
Well, they are upset because this was Pate's former friend and lover.
Of
course, Pate's being the lady that was involved in this. But before they forced him to walk off a cliff and shot him, they used a blowtorch and a whole series of other weapons to, torture him. And I have to say, isn't that just a little bit too much for anyone to handle?
I just don't really know. Well, it seems like this seems to be some form of custody battle, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So they say, according to David Berchowitz, he's the sheriff's captain, Pate and Dent lured Jaggers to Pate's home where they beat and handcuffed him because they believed that he had harmed Pate's young son. Then they threw him in the back of a car and drove him out to a remote area. And that's where over multiple hours, they utilized a bunch of different weapons. So
yes,
who knows what they know? They said they used an axe, a baton, knives, and again, a blowtorch.
Sometimes it's not about what they use. It's also which is what you find.
But that's also what they used. An axe, a baton, knives, and blowtorch. That's
agree with it. But apparently Heather Pate was with the other two people were Kevin Dent and Brad Men.
Yes.
Kevin Dent was Pate's current boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And Brad Men was her last boyfriend. So she got her boyfriend and her ex together to go murder her other ex because they said, I guess they had something to do with the son, or that was just
who
like what
knows
she wanted to get.
What she said. Exactly.
It's very intense. I don't know what the hell is the actual truth of this story, but it's, man, just being able to get your ex and your current boyfriend together to murder somebody. How strong's that coochie?
It's pussy magic. She has it. And obviously, she has a type, and these guys have a type because they all look like the kind of people who would murder and torture someone with a blowtorch.
They all look like a younger version of the homeless man from Dennis the Menace.
Oh, I love Baines. I love Baines. I really do. Jagger's body was discovered again by a jogger in the morning hours. So be very careful, or by an unidentified man in the early hours, but you would have to imagine they were doing some kind of workout, or perhaps they were stumbling home absolutely hammered from a bar, which is when I would prefer to see a body, because then you're just desensitized enough to initially be like,
yes,
cool.
Yeah. It can bounce off my eyeballs for a little bit. If I'm very drunk, I can go like, whoa,
I can't believe I'm dealing with that right now. And it takes a second to settle in.
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it. It's been a long time since I've seen a dead body.
You saw a dead body on the train.
Yeah, I saw a dead body. Well, we didn't know he was dead until somebody touched him, and then he slumped right over. And then he dead. But that Mama. Was like one of those that it's hard because, you know, it's waxy, and then of course, and then funerals.
Of course, but those don't count.
I'm talking.
You got to find one in the wild.
Yeah, yeah. It's something. Yeah, you kind of want to be surprised by a dead body, in a way, because going to a funeral to see one's really sad.
Uh-huh.
But being surprised by one sometimes is kind of fun.
Well, something happened here. Cassie Robinson, that's the mother of Roy. She says that occasionally he would babysit Pate's children and look after the dogs. So who knows?
Who fucking knows?
I also don't trust that these people were looking after their kid because it seems like they have the capability of murdering someone with a blowtorch.
I don't think that whatever happened, they're correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She says, the mom says, I know exactly what he was like. What he's capable of and he was not capable of. And she says he would never do anything wrong to hurt another human being. So there you go. That's just another day in beautiful Varnville. No, it might as well be. This is in Las Vegas. So.
Yep.
Anyway, be careful out there. And don't hang out too closely with your ex-girlfriend and her current boyfriend, because at some point she will convince you to murder someone.
Yep. Okay. Just don't be that close to an ex.
Be friends, though, if you can.
If you can, figure out a way to navigate it, but also don't stress it.
All right, now it is time for Hero of the Week.
Now, this is a real hero.
This is a real hero, and I'm going to say this is a twofer. A plumber. Now, a plumber, he was 49 years old.
We've sang the praises of plumbers everywhere.
I love plumbers. We actually did a meet and greet, or the Q&A, I believe someone said he was a former plumber. His father ran a plumbing business, and we said, thank you for your service. But he did admit, some days, it's not fun to be a plumber.
No, so a lot of days, I imagine it's not. We had a plumber at our house the other day.
Yeah? How was
that? He was jacked.
Oh, strong.
Very big guy.
That's going to handle your big old poops. But even
buddy.
When you're plumbing, you get a big old turd in that toilet. What are you going to do?
I don't know, man.
You got to sing.
That's what I would do, man. Come down to it. You got to do something to make the time pass.
Absolutely. Kev Crane is 49 years old. He spent 6 weeks installing a new suite at the home of Paul Keenly. Now, Paul Keenly, he owns a record label.
Ooh,
okay. So
you
this
never
is
know.
Pretty, you never know.
Know.
You never know.
You never know who you're working with.
You never know. And apparently, Kev would sing beautifully. He would sing.
I wonder what song he sang.
Well, he sang some of David Bowie. He sang a little Meatloaf.
No way.
And Paul, the record label company, the record label boss, he was so impressed with the dulcet tones, he gave Kev a deal. I do want to note that he waited until after the job was done.
I mean,
because
he
did have him do it for an entire 6 weeks.
Because he knew
weeks.
That if he gave it before the job, he'd stop being a plumber.
Exactly.
So he decided to be like, let me get this one last plumbing thing out of here before I get this gold record to the presses.
Absolutely. So Kev said he was shocked when Paul offered him a chance to sign on his new Reality Records, which has artists from Brazil, New York, and Britain. Stunned, Kev said, I got a call and a quote. I got a call to go and quote some bathrooms. I thought, fair enough.
That's huge.
I then started working at Paul's house, and I like to sing when I'm working. And he pulled me into the living room one night for a conversation about my singing voice. This could really go either
way. I mean, honestly, he does sound like he's trying to suck your dick.
This is a hero segment. He said, I started telling him that I love music, that I used to be in a band.
Here, sit here. Oh, that shirt looks so white, wet. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love music. And then he also goes on to say, and I've written an album, more of a hobby, really. And he said, I was shocked when he said he wanted to hear it. I sent him the album on Friday and thought, if I don't hear from him over the weekend, I can just go back to work with him on Monday and just carry on fitting his bathrooms.
That's incredible.
Yes, indeed.
That is the dream.
Yes,
the
indeed.
The idea of just like being plucked. That's a Tony Braxton dream.
Yes, indeed. Kev used to be in a cover band called The Reprise, which was a cover band for Depeche Mode.
That's interesting.
Isn't that fun? And Paul said he really liked the album and he wanted to sign Kev. Kev says, I carried on working at his house and at the same time finishing my album in the recording studio. It's overwhelming. So there you go, Kev, your hero of the week for making your dreams
work.
Come true. And Paul, for being someone who closely watches every plumber that comes into his home.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, just staring at him while he's working. Honestly, when it comes down to it, you never know where you're going to get inspired.
You never know. And so I just think that's a great story in many ways because you never know what can happen. And it's great that Kev was living his best life singing. And then something happened good.
So it's important to sing. So it's important because you never know when somebody's listening.
You never know.
And they need a song.
Yep. And again, the story could have gone either way, which is why Paul is also a hero.
Yes.
Because again, he did not
rape the plumber.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good work.
Yep.
Good I was work, everybody.
I was looking at your crack there. You bringing in that.
You're not the first man to do this, but I got to tell you what, you're the most handsome man.
Okay.
To do.
Very good.
Here we go. Here's some listener letters. A lot of people messaging about mosquitoes.
Yes. Any? Are they good for anything?
They're for food. For other creatures.
I was told that toadies and turtles and frogs don't like mosquitoes.
I also, so this comes from a very, this kind of almost, this is scary what this person wrote. We talking about, you remember the guy who died at the cockroach eating contest?
Yeah, of course.
Right. And said,
it seems to happen too much.
Oh yeah. And this person said, I used to breed rare cockroaches at a museum I worked at in the past. And I realized the type and size of cockroach he was eating would truly be a grotesque way to die, because cockroaches don't die immediately upon being smashed or chewed in this example. And their legs are extremely spiny. So I can only imagine the agony of that poor man as hundreds of eviscerated cockroach bodies try to climb back up his esophagus.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's just
Jesus. Why'd they have him eat those kind of cockroaches?
Because it's a radio station.
Yeah, they don't think they care about people too
much. Wasps provides both ecosystem services and ecosystem functions.
Mm-hmm.
It is a common misconception that wasps are just pests. Wasps are also extremely important pollinators, as many adult species actually consume nectar. They are also extremely important predators of pest insects, especially parasitoids. Parasitoids, wasps, are a large subset within the wasp group who lay their eggs inside or on top of unsuspecting hosts. The larvae would then burrow into the body cavity of the organism as they develop, and they will eat the organs of the host.
Pro-wasp or anti-wasp? That's horrible.
But I guess the larvae will target non-essential organs of the host in order to keep it alive long enough
for
the larvae to develop into its free-living adult stage. So, you haven't convinced me. But mosquitoes, while having earned their terrible reputation, are still ecologically important. Mosquitoes are also pollinators. At some stages, the males will eat nectar from flowers and thereby will contribute at least some to pollination. They are also extremely important food source for birds, fish, bats, reptiles, and other insects. So,
all right. All
I don't
right.
fucking know.
That's fine then.
It's gross.
I'll give a bat a food. I'll put up bat burgers for bats.
I wish I could feed a bat.
If we could get rid of mosquitoes forever, I will happily take care of all other animals.
I fucking wish.
All right.
And now we have two creepy alien stories.
Ooh.
I woke up one night. No idea what time it was, but it was very late and dark. There was a faint glowing in my room, coming from the corner where my dresser was. I turned my head and looked towards the glow and saw two tall creatures hiding behind my dresser, peeking their heads around my dresser with their three-fingered hands clutched on the sides of it.
Woo.
If this was real, it's creepy.
It could be real.
They had big black eyes, and their skin had a faint yellow-green glow to it. With these two was a worm-like object, same glowing hue to it. I don't know if it was alive or not, but it was behind the dresser with them. It was rigid, kind of like a black accordion pipes used for garden drainage, and some sort of goo coming from the top of it. As I looked at these things, terrified, I noticed a glow from my doorway. I turned to look at it and saw two more, shorter versions of the creatures walking down the hall towards my then 1.5-year-old sister's room. One of them raised its hand, and I fell back asleep. The next morning, I woke, thinking I had a bad dream. But my sister was found to have a small BB-sized lump on her forehead by her hairline. Doctors took scans, but nothing showed up. At some point in her life, that small knot just disappeared. I used to draw what I saw to show my parents, who to this day still believe I saw something. I've told the story several times over the years to several people, and they tell me it never changes. Whether it's real or the worst night terror ever, it stays in my mind as clear and as vivid as a movie I watched yesterday.
All right.
That's very interesting. Who knows?
Cool.
I mean, it is creepy.
You never know.
Now, being a simple Polish boy raised Catholic, I'd say my childhood was quite uneventful in terms of unexplained phenomena. However, that all changed when I was 15. After immigrating from Poland, my family and I settled in the great flat expanse known as Calgary, Alberta.
Oh.
One thing that I always appreciated was the skyline, which was almost always free of clouds. And you could see everything in full detail at night as long as you were in the right place.
Talk about talented real estate. It's the expand. It's what is the flat expand?
Flat expanse of Calgary.
The flat expanse.
And we've been to Calgary.
That's one way. That's one exciting way to say it.
The incredible skyline of Calgary with the Walmart and the two other buildings.
Yes, indeed. Love Calgary.
Love Calgary. Can't wait to go back. Since my family was quite strict, I would also find myself walking around at night with friends partaking in underage drinking and the jazz cabbage. That's weed. Our go-to spot was always it was a nearby industrial park where after about 7 p.m. became a ghost town.
Great. We used to do that too.
But so one night, a group of five friends and I were sitting on a berm near some train tracks sipping on some fine Canadian swill when one of us exclaimed that he saw something in the sky. We looked up among the darkness, lightly illuminated by the industrial light pollution, and saw something bizarre. It was the silhouette of a pitch-black triangular craft slightly scooting across the night sky. I recall it being so dark that I felt like it almost absorbed the light as it passed over.
Mm.
I found it strange that it slowly rotated as it passed through our views. We watched in awe as it slowly migrated its way to the west, out towards what we could call the boonies, basically just fields. The craft started to pulse a golden-orange light. You think it would just disappear after this, but oh boy, were we wrong. It then proceeded to do a full glowing U-turn in the air and shot completely out of sight in a glowing red swoop.
Cool.
The only way I could describe it would be like a fiery, thin red ribbon getting stretched across the sky. And as quickly as it all happened, it was gone, leaving no trace of its existence.
Whoa, very cool.
That's very interesting.
I'd love to go get hammered in a goddamn old construction park in Calgary.
That's all I want to do. I want to get hammered in Calgary. I want to go and see a goddamn UFO. Goddamn it.
Goddamn it. That's right.
You
all
fucking
right.
Fucking give it to me. Goddamn it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everyone for listening this week.
Guys, so excited. We got a couple of bits of news here. This weekend, we've got coming up hosted by Ed Lawson. It is a mug shot. Roast!
It's a mugshot roast working with The Last Prisoner Project. Ed Larson put this together. I am trying to find my mugshots. When I was 19 and 380 pounds, my DUI, and then when I got detained in the tombs, that mugshot I think I might actually look good in.
Yes.
But I can't figure out how to get them. So if anyone has any, I don't know.
Just so you know, it is on the Twitch Sunday, September 12th,
woo!
5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/Last Podcast Network. Any money we raise goes straight to Last Prisoner Project, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and we're so proud to be working with Last Prisoner Project, and so thanks for supporting them and everything that we are doing with them, and thanks for buying our weed.
It's
really been a wonderful experience. I've been getting high off my own supply all weekend, and I gotta say that sativa, it'll make you stay up until 9 o'clock in the morning, because cuddling dogs is so fun.
It's cute, and it's fun.
It is a good
so
time.
Yeah, join us on our journey and mission.
Yeah.
To stop people from being in jail for sweet, sweet ish. That sweet, sweet fucking weed.
Absolutely.
So make sure you live every day knowing that, try not to accrue the amount of enemies that it would take an entire town of people to kill you and your family.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know what I mean?
Definitely not.
You know how you do that? Laugh. A little bit more.
Well, you could laugh.
You laugh a little bit more. Don't take things so seriously.
But what if
you don't want the whole town to kill your family?
But laughter could be kind of maniacal.
But you have to, like, if you find yourself in the middle of a... turn it into a... Because people, no one can kill you if they think that there's something wrong with your mental.
Sure, absolutely not.
And make sure you love the fact that when it comes down to it, if the whole fucking town is trying to kill you and you are part of an intergenerational family that has millions and millions of dollars, you can just crush them legally.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Can't wait to see you on the road again very soon. Never forget. Yes. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me.
Don't kill your family.
Not yet.
Never.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.